Ephesians 4, beginning in verse 17. This I say, therefore, and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. And they, having become callous, have given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. But you did not learn Christ in this way. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, just as truth is in Jesus, then in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. The transitional paragraph that Paul begins in Ephesians, after showing in the first three chapters how God had accomplished his eternal purpose in Christ Jesus and has brought it and made it magnificently exclaimed in the presence of the people that the Bible will call the church. But then in chapter 4, he reminds those who are the church, those who belong to the Christ, those who have accepted the testimony of an eternal redemption that has now been realized in Jesus Christ, there lay upon us a responsibility. A responsibility that he begins with in chapter 4 is talking about a unity that should exist among those who would be believers in Jesus Christ. And then in chapter 4, verse 17, therefore he says these things. The things that show us the transformation that occurs because we have learned Christ. He tells us what Christ has done. He tells us what Christ means for his people, a unity that we are to keep. And since you learned Christ in this way, beginning in verse 25 and onward, he will show us how we should live. But in this paragraph that's transitional, verse 17 through 24, is what I want us to focus on in the lesson today. How have you learned Christ? Notice that when he talks about it, he uses a dark contrast that he says in verse 17 through verse 19, this is what you were like when you walked as the Gentiles also walked. Notice how he describes their life. He says they're in the futility of their mind. Verse 18, they were darkened in their understanding. Then in verse 18 also, that because of this ignorance that was in them and because of the hardness of their heart, they were excluded from God. And then he says in verse 19, and they became callous, and they gave themselves over to their senses. They gave themselves over to their self-needs. They gave themselves over to, it's always about me. That sensuality is what has rocked and ruined the cultures that we live in. Because it has always rocked and ruined every culture. Guided by the devil, encouraged by his missionaries, Christians must be the people who stand up against that mindset. And the reason that we can is because we have learned Christ. And that's his point to the audience to whom he writes. You've learned Christ, and this is what it means. Notice he uses, in describing that learning of Christ in verse 21 through verse 24, he describes it as an instruction of the mind. Notice in contrast to the Gentiles who've given themselves over to sensuality, they've given themselves over to their senses, they're just kind of doing what really feels good, that those of us who have learned Christ have surrendered ourselves to understand that it is through the teaching in our mind about Christ that helps us direct our path. Instead of our passion. Notice also he uses the imagery of being clothed putting on the Christ. And that very image of just like all of you did just today, you all got dressed, and we're all glad that you did. But you put on clothes. And you understand that when you put on the clothes and you look in the mirror and something's not right, either your spouse will tell you what's wrong, your kids will tell you what's wrong, or my good friend in the foyer will occasionally come up and correct my collar because my collar isn't set right. We adjust things because we see when we have dressed ourselves, it's supposed to look a certain way. You learned Christ a way to be clothed like him. And then he describes it as the new creature, the new creation, the new creating that God has done and accomplished and is accomplishing in us. So I want us to break that down today. He'll use other verbs about the New American Standard says to rid ourselves or to put off. And it'll say be made new, and then it will say to put on. All of these key ideas of the verbs result in us understanding how we have learned Christ. So today, have you learned Christ as being a real disciple? Notice he says, you have heard him, verse 21, and you have been taught in him, just as truth is in Jesus. We give great credence to the reality that the disciples were first called Christians. That what it means to be someone who is really a Christian is a person who is yielding himself and his life to being a disciple of the Savior, of learning him and being taught in him. When it comes to learning how to do something around the house, sometimes you may know someone who's that handyman that you know that you ask that person, or you're learning how to cook something, and you ask your mother, how is it that I'm supposed to cook this? We learn from other people, but it is a process of learning. The gospel is a message about Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 through 3, he says, I delivered to you this gospel about Christ who has died and he was buried and he was raised the third day. The message of the good news is about who and what Christ has accomplished by God's eternal purpose. It's about Jesus Christ as Lord, that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you have crucified, Acts chapter 2. So if you've learned Christ, I'm asking you to understand and to question and to apply. How much are you still learning? Now realize, once you learn how to cook a roast, you'll probably cook a roast the same way for the rest of your life. I realize that when you learn how to lay a laminate floor, you'll probably do it the same way, probably buy the same products every time, not do something different. But as a Christian, when we understand that we have been taught in Christ, we realize there's so much more that we need to understand, not just about him, but about ourselves. Nothing curbs sin. Nothing cures sin in a sinner who wants to be licentious. The only thing that can is the teaching of Christ. And that's what he says. You've learned Christ as a disciple because you have been taught the truth that is in Jesus. He is the solution. He is the resolution. He is the reason that you are not what you were. A fun quote from C.S. Lewis that describes repentance, that change that occurs when we've accepted the Christ, he says, it is not something that God necessarily demands of you before he will take you back. But rather, repentance is simply the description of what going back is like. That when you recognize that you're going through a process of repentance. We think of repentance always as a single technical event in one person's life, and it happens on that one day. If that's what repentance is to you, I'm not sure you've learned Christ. You've learned Christ that as a disciple, you're forever learning. You learned Christ. But notice what else he says in verse 22. Then in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit. So if I've learned Christ and I realize I'm having to make all of this change and all of the painful experiences of facing who I really am and what I've really done, and surrendered my life to the service of the Christ, I am to rid myself, the New American Standard says, of our former manner of life. And I personally like that translation. I realize you may like the idea of put off. But when you rid yourself of something, it's not only because you've put it off, but you know you need to get rid of it. We just found out this week, hasn't been a very good week for Sarah and Drew Hull. I almost said Sarah and Drew Hooten. That's on live stream, anyway. Sarah and Drew Hull. Not only did they have COVID, which they are recovering from, not only did their water heater break yesterday and flooded their newly bought home yesterday, but earlier in the week, for the second time, my daughter got attacked by bees in their backyard. And all I could say was, okay, it's time to hire a beekeeper and get rid of those bees. So when it means get rid of the old man, I think you need to understand what that means. It's not just putting it aside. It's the full recognition that I need to get rid of this in Don Hooten's life. I need to get rid of these things that have pulled me away from Christ. And I'm not just wanting to get rid of them. I am getting rid of them. Because many times in our lives as Christians, that's how we think we should live. Well, just let me deal with one thing at a time. It's interesting that notice Paul says, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit. Because if you don't really get rid of that old man, he's going to keep deceiving you that it's all okay. Historically, it's said that many times when Roman soldiers would be baptized, that they would take their swords and raise them out of the water and never let their sword go into the water. Now, historians will sometimes say that may have been because they valued their sword and there was something about it that they had to just keep above the water. Maybe they were afraid it was going to rust. But most historians who quote this will make reference to the point that what it really was is they weren't willing to surrender their whole life to what they were dying to. They were still going to be a soldier no matter what. They were still going to defend and kill for Rome, even though they would be a Christian. So I'm going to ask you, what sword are you keeping above the water? What are you keeping above the water so that that's just who I am, Don, and you will never change that? Well, I'm not trying to change anything. I'm trying to keep us to see what it means to learn Christ. That we have learned Christ as a person who's been set free because we've gotten rid of the old man. Just like getting rid of the bees in the backyard means I don't ever want them to be there. Getting rid of the bees means I don't ever want them to sting me again. But what sword are you holding above the water? Is it your porn? Is it your lying? Is it your pretense that when you come to church, you act like a Christian, but every other day of the week you don't? What are you holding above the water? Because you did not learn Christ that way. You've learned Christ to be a person set free. Then notice verse 24. Verse 23. And that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind. A very beautiful picture to show what it really means to be taught in Christ. A renewal of the spirit of your mind. Now, I realize there is a mind-renewing description in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. But it's a very powerful way to say in the translation, to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. He urged early Christians to replace their natural responses that were sinful with responses that would give glory to the spiritual way of service in Christ that they have learned in Him. To be made new in this spirit of your mind was because you were putting on the new self. How do you do that? Paul said it in Romans 12, verse 21. Do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. And notice he didn't put any caveat that only applies when you're talking to your brethren. Paul says in Philippians 4, verse 6, don't be anxious or worried about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Not only should we overcome evil with good, but Paul says here we should replace worry with faith. I want you to look in Romans chapter 4, verse 20. One translation reads that he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. Replace cynicism with the faith of Abraham. Second Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 and 10. Paul said, I'm sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, poor, yet making many rich, having nothing, and yet possessing all things, because he learned to replace sorrow with joy. And then last, in James chapter 1, verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. Because as one who has learned Christ, as one who has been bought with the precious blood of the Lamb, God wants to instill in you a life of wisdom. So you have to replace the confusion of this world with the wisdom that is God's. Because you learned Christ as a person with a renewed mind, to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And then last, verse 24, and put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. In fact, in chapter 5, verse 1, he'll say, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children. The idea of being this new self transcends just merely the transition from old to new. But rather, it is restoring us back to the image of what God expected us to look like, to be people that look like Him as beloved children, be imitators of God. Many of you know that Tracy loves her family very much, and she also loves her parents, Jerry and Sandy Droke. But Tracy was adopted. And when we first started having children, one of the things that she said to me that was so stunning to me, because it was something I never thought about, when she said, "All I want is to have a little child that comes from my body that looks like me." And bless her heart, Joshua came out and everyone said he looked just like me. But God wants you to look like him. Quit trying to look the way you want to. Quit trying to look the way you think is politically correct. Quit trying to look the way that you think is more powerful. Quit trying to look the way that you're all that. And as beloved children, be imitators of God. Because we wear his name. You remember Acts 11? And the disciples were first called Christians. We suffer because we wear his name. 1 Peter chapter 4, if anyone suffers for being a Christian, let him not be ashamed. Because John says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 17, because as he is, so also are we in the world. And it's because we have learned Christ. We've learned that we are Christ's as a disciple. We have learned that we are Christ's as a person set free. We have learned that we are Christ's as a person with a renewed mind. And we've learned that we are Christ's because we wear his name. And I guess I'll say this. If you ever tell Joshua, if you want to ever make Joshua mad, tell him that he looks like his dad. But if you want to make me happy, tell me I look like Jesus. There's a story told by a woman who went to a diet center to lose weight. And the person that she was working with, this may not be a very good illustration to all of us who are trying to lose weight, but I want you to hear what I'm about to say. And in an effort for the woman to visualize what she wanted to be, she made the woman stand up in front of a full-length mirror. And she traced the outline of the woman in the mirror in black. And then she asked the woman to step away from the full-length mirror. And with the help of the woman's guidance, she drew where the woman wanted to be. So the woman could visualize what it was she needed to change so that she could get to where she wanted to be. You and I, the line's already been drawn for you and me. It's not to look like a preacher. It's not to look like an elder. It's not to look like your dad, and it's not to look like your mom. It's to look like Jesus. Because that's how you have learned Christ. And then when Paul writes to the church at Ephesus in this transitional paragraph, 17 through 24, chapter 4, that's exactly where he takes us. That then we begin to learn why it's so important for me in the new self to speak truth. Why it's so important for me in verse 29 to let no unwholesome word proceed from my mouth. Why it's so important for me in verse 31 to let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from me. And verse 32, to be kind to one another. Don't be kind because that's the thing that's going around in the last 10 years. Be kind, everyone. We were reminded of that when we became a Christian. Kindness is not a new age morality. It's what Jesus made us to be. How have you learned Christ? He's drawn the picture for you on your full-length mirror. And every one of us are still in black. But by his grace and by his mercy, he helps us be what we have learned. So replace evil with good. Replace worry with faith. Replace anger with love. Replace cynicism with belief. Replace sorrow with joy. and replace that the confusion that the world has placed upon us, not just in the last 18 months, everybody, I don't know what we're going, with the wisdom that is God's. Because that's how you learned Christ when you became a Christian. And this morning I ask you, if you're not a Christian, now's a good time to become one. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, if you're willing to repent of the sin that your life has been filled with, and to be immersed into water, we could make that happen today so that you could rise into newness of life that only God can provide.